Hello there and good day everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher. I'm your host, Mas'ud.
Woke up with the light, a sky so blue upon my eyes, with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new start. I feel so positive, just wanna do my best and show this world I'm living in all of the love that I can give, give, give.
There are many things that I can do,
many things, yeah,
that can make me feel so close to you.
With a little study on history of medicine and, of course, history of Islamic scholars, everybody will undoubtedly find out about the great achievements and contributions of Muslim scholars and physicians in the field of medicine to later improvements and advancements, of course, of, let's say, medical achievements in the modern times. There was a time when a numerous number of Muslim physicians and scholars started to, study about different fields of medicine, from the, their great achievements in surgery, orthopedics, and, of course, treatment of infections, to, discovering new medications and, of course, treatments for more complicated diseases. All these things were among the achievements and contributions of Muslim physicians to the field of medicine. But it was not only in the, very operational fields of medicine that Muslim scholars could make these great achievements, like, for example, surgeries and other operational issues. However, there were more areas of medicine, such as pharmacy, that Muslim physicians could make great achievements in those areas. One of these great figures of Muslim physicians that we're going to talk about today is Ibn al-Baytar, who is considered as a great and famous pharmacist and botanist, and of course, a physician in that time. Let's know more about him. Brother Yasser Ibrahim talks about Ibn al-Baytar's biography and writings.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, in continuing our discussion on Islamic sciences and on the scientists who are or Muslims who are Arab, for example, who changed the world or how we see the world. Today our discussion falls upon a person by the name of Ziya-ad-Din Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn al-Baytar al-Malaqi, also known as just al-Baytar. Al-Baytar was born in the Andalusian city of Malaga in the year 1197. He received his education in Seville under the guidance of Abu al-Abbas Ahmad al-Nabati as a physician. He also had a great interest in botany. Botany is the science by which a person understands different plants and the qualities of different plants. This science he also learned from his teacher, who was also a well-known botanist. He first started collecting plants in and around Andalusia, and in 1219 he left Spain for this very purpose of plant collecting and traveled along the northern coast of Africa and some part of Asia Minor. In the year 1224, he entered the service of Malik al-Kamil, the Egyptian ruler of the time, and was appointed his chief herbalist. Al-Kamil extended his kingdom to Damascus, and Ibn al-Baytar accompanied him there. which provided him an opportunity to collect even more plants in Syria, Palestine, and a good part of Iraq. Malik al-Kamil's regime brought a peaceful atmosphere a long time in Egypt and Syria. Schools of learning were prospering, and the atmosphere was very conducive for research and learning. Learned people were given due recognition by the king. Malik al-Kamil himself was a learned man who participated in scholarly discussions and took active part in the propagation of knowledge. Ibn al-Baytar lived in Damascus in a very congenial atmosphere and did his research on plants and medicine till he died in 1248. Ibn Baytar was full of confidence in his observations, inferences, and deductions, and did not write something without having first observed it. He prescribed only those items which he considered suitable as medicine or as a food substance. Wherever he collected the sample, he always tried to ask relevant information from the local experts about that plant. According to Sartan, the author of the Introduction to the History of Science, Ibn al-Baytar was the greatest herbalist of the Middle Ages. No one excelled or equaled him in bulk and quality till the 7th century. Ibn al-Baytar's largest and most widely read book is his compendium on simple medicines and foods, titled Kitab al-Jami' lil-Mufradat al-Adwiyah wal-Aghdiyah. It is a pharmacopedia, that is a pharmaceutical encyclopedia listing 1,400 plants, foods, and drugs, and their uses. It is organized alphabetically by the name of the useful plant or plant component or other substance. A small minority of the items covered are not of plant substances or food. They are of other things, for example, metals. Ibn al-Baytar's second major work is Kitab al-Mughni fi al-Adwiya al-Mufradah, an encyclopedia of Islamic medicine which incorporates his knowledge of plants used extensively for the treatment of various ailments, including diseases related to the head, ear, eye, and other parts of the human body. Ibn Baytar is also recorded to have other books. For example, we read that he had written a book called Mizan al-Tib, that is the scale of medicine. Risala fi Aghdiya wal-Adwiya, that is a treatise on food and medicine. Al-Maqala fi Layman, that is a treatise on lemon and its qualities and its uses. And one of his other books, Tafsir Kutub to Yushkur Dridis. This is a commentary on the first four books of Dias Kordis. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is the program The Teacher. Talking about great Muslim physicians and, you know, scholars, we came to talk about Ibn al-Baytar today, who is considered as one of the greatest, let's say, pharmacists, botanists, physicians, and scientists of his time. He was born in the Andalusian city of Malaga at that time, and later on, you know, showed his interest in plants and botany. So he learned a lot about that. And his greatest achievement and contribution was, you know, adding between 300 to 400 types of medicine to the 1,000 previously known types since the time of antiquity. So his contribution to the field of pharmacy is very valuable for us. However, these medications and all the treatments that are available for different diseases, all of them go to the physical diseases that we have. When we get sick, we take pills or different kinds of medications, which are essential for our cure and treatment, of course. However, if we consider that these medications are, you know, like a kind of food for our body, like the, let's say, regular foods that we eat every day in order to energize our body and, let's say, stop some diseases, the same thing is definitely true about our soul. Either our soul needs to be stopped and prevented from getting sick, which needs, you know, more food and energy and healthy food, of course, or when there is a problem, it needs a cure and treatment. Definitely, Islam is a comprehensive guide for our life. There is no doubt that everywhere in our Islamic teachings and guidances, we will simply find soul and body together. When there is a talk about food for our body, there's a talk about the food for our soul as well. Or if there is a talk about, you know, treatments and cures for our body, the same thing is for our soul. If the soul is sick, the healthy body is of no advantage for us. Is of no advantage for anybody to, let's say, pursue a successful life and, of course, moving towards reaching salvation, which is necessary and essential in Islam for everybody's, you know, let's say, achievements in life. So a healthy soul requires healthy food, exactly like a healthy body, which requires healthy food and treatments, of course. So all the Muslim physicians at that time, like Ibn al-Baytar that we were talking about today, because of their faith and beliefs, it is very interesting to know that all the time they were following, you know, all these studies on different kinds of medicines and things like this, and always bearing in mind that their faith and their soul is exactly the same thing as the body and is complicated, and they need to think about it all the time.
Sitting here on this mountain, I'm thinking about your creation. It's so beautiful out here. A symphony of nature.
Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with the program The Teacher. You were listening to iRibe English Radio. We'll have you hopefully again in the next episode of this program. Just don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Till that time, God bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye.
The ocean that makes us blue to the universe. Hey, wish I could see the world from space. Yeah, SubhanAllah, the creator.